Good evening to everyone. Thankful for those around the country that are part of our Thursday night gospel call. We come once now on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And our purpose is, as is stated, it is a nationwide gospel call. My text on tonight is taken from Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 14, Paul's letter to the Romans. And I want to read the text. If you have your New Testament copies, I will ask you to read with me. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I ask you to read along with me, follow along with me, and I encourage you to take notes. In Romans chapter 1, and the verse is number 14, the Bible reads, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's my scriptural text on tonight, and we will come back and we will open up that text and explain what Paul was saying to those Roman Christians. I want to start tonight by saying my subject title is The Gospel of Christ, that you find in verse number 16. The Gospel of Christ. Why is the message concerning the Gospel of Christ the most important message anyone who is not a child of God so eternally important? That's a question. The Apostle Paul renders this answer within these few verses that I've read. However, before we analyze this answer that carries with it our eternal destination, I would like to share some very important foundational information. What is the holistic or overall purpose of the Bible? What is the holistic or overall purpose of the Bible? The purpose of the Bible is the glory of God and the salvation of man through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Repeat that again. The purpose of the Bible is the glory of God. And we're going to read that. And the salvation of man through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 3, and the verse is number 23, Paul wrote to the Romans, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Involved in the glory of God is his righteousness. And everyone that reaches the age of accountability, and because of our having sinned, we all have come short of that righteousness that God requires for anyone to go to heaven and be with God. Again, everyone that reaches the age of accountability, and because of our having sinned, we all have come short of that righteousness that God requires for anyone to go to heaven and be with God. And Paul wrote in verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Paul said we can become justified. The word justified means being made righteous. And Paul said it is freely. It is as a gift by God's grace, and is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This grace from God is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word redemption means releasing on payment of a ransom. Yeah. A ransom has to be paid for someone to be released. Yeah. The word redemption also involves deliverance from the guilt of sins that is in Christ Jesus. We all have sinned, and we all have to pay for our sins. Why? Because God is a righteous God, and ransom must be paid for the sins for one to be released from their sins. So redemption, again, is deliverance from the guilt of sins that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Bible relates to the need for human redemption. Man needs to be redeemed. The Apostle Paul then shares how this is accomplished in verse number 25 of Romans chapter 3. The Bible reads, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Yeah. Paul reminded those Romans that God set forth Jesus Christ, his God the Father set forth Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to be a propitiation. That word means that Christ became the sacrificial death, or the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross, where his blood was shed for our sins. Paul told them, it is through faith in the Word of God, the Bible, that God declares or shows his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Yeah. That's what Paul reminded them. It was God that arranged his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. The word remission refers to God's forgiveness of sins. So now, let's read again our given text for tonight, because now we should hopefully understand that according to Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, that everyone that is of the age of accountability have sinned. And the fact that we sin, we've fallen short of the glory of God and his righteousness. And then Paul shared with them, there's a way that one can become justified or become righteous because of the gift that God gave by his grace. And it was through the redemption of the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. For Paul said to them, the remission of your sins. And Paul said that God the Father set forth this atonement through Christ being nailed to a cross for 6 hours. And when they pierced him in the side while he was on the cross, the Bible shares that out came out blood and water, two important elements. And that's why Paul said that through our faith in his blood, God then showed his righteousness for the forgiveness of sins that have been done. And it's because the word forbearance means the long suffering of God. So if you're on the call tonight, God has been long-suffering with all of us. And so when Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, he said, I am debtor. The word debtor means something that you must do, because it is morally and spiritually right. I am debtor. Paul said, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He said, both to the wise and to the unwise. But the Horace Stroud is indebted, obligated to the wise, those that learn naturally, and to the unwise, those may be lacking of common sense and understanding. It's my responsibility to teach all that they understand. And I like to say that I teach the Word of God, and I try to make it simple and logical that all those, even the unwise, can understand. I'm preaching the text, the Word of God. Paul said, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm excited. I have a strong desire. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you all that are at Rome. Paul told in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be established or strengthened. So I'm preaching the gospel tonight. Yeah. And so Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, my subject title tonight, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It first was offered to the Jew and then to the Greek. So it is, the word power means God's ability to save. The word salvation means to be saved from our past sins. It is through the gospel of Christ. That's why, as I said earlier, it is the most important message anyone who is not a child of God can hear. The word gospel means the good news or good message regarding the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of the salvation through Christ. The gospel contained three facts: that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried in a tomb, and he resurrected the third day, never to die again. And so Paul, in Romans chapter number 10, and the verse is number 16, Paul wrote, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? The word believe, our report. The word report simply means a message. Isaiah asked the question, Lord, who has believed our report? And I'm hoping tonight there's some soul tonight that you are honest with yourself and understand that the only way that I can be saved, I have to obey the gospel. Yeah. So again, God arranged a plan of salvation. And from Romans 1:16, it includes, as Paul said, to everyone that believeth. So the plan of salvation includes belief in the written word of God. So now, how does one obey the gospel, and what does obeying the gospel do for the person? Well, first of all, in Romans chapter number 10, and the verse is number 14. Paul, in his letter, asked some rhetorical questions. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 10, Paul said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him," the Lord, "on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So involved in the first two acts of the plan of salvation, one being saved, one must hear the gospel of Christ. One then must believe the gospel of Christ. And the only way one can hear and believe properly is that the preacher must be one who has been saved from their sins. No one who preaches who has not been saved from their sins can preach truth to anyone because they're not saved. So the preacher must be one that has been taught the gospel of Christ, one that has heard the gospel of Christ, one that has believed the gospel of Christ. And not only must one hear and believe, but in Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 4, Paul said, shared with them, he said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The fact that you are breathing today, the fact that you are living today, I'm not talking about your condition. The fact that you are living today shows us that God is good. That ought to lead you to repentance. What is repentance, Brother Stroud? Repentance is when I turn from the life I have been living and I initially turn toward God and his word through faith. That's the beginning of repentance. So after you heard the gospel of Christ and you believe the gospel of Christ, you must repent of those sins that you've done, because all have sinned. And then Romans chapter 10 and the verse is number 9. Paul reminded them that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, Paul said, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, verse 10, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're not saved yet, but you're headed there. And so I must hear the gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I must believe that message that God sent. I must repent of my sins. I must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And then Paul said then in Romans chapter 6, how do I conclude my obedience? In Romans chapter 6, Paul reminded those Romans, verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound. Right now, you're living on grace. Paul said in verse number 2, God forbid, or God will not allow you continue to live eternally on grace. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul said, understand that Jesus Christ died for sin. We have to die to sin. How do we do that? Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And let me share this about baptism. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. If the person that taught you is not a Christian, they can't teach you how to become a Christian because they are not one themselves. There's many that say, I've been baptized before, but there is only one baptism, and that's according to proper teaching. You don't have to be baptized once, but it has to be correctly done. You have to be taught properly by someone who has been saved from their sins. Yeah. No one that's locked up can tell another person about being free when they're locked up. It takes a person who's free from sin to tell a person how to be saved. Then verse 4, Paul says, therefore we are buried. Notice now, we die with Christ. Notice the three actions. The gospel of Christ is Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection. Now, watch, we must imitate what God's Son did to become a child of God. We have to die to sin. He died for sin. Christ was buried in a tomb. We also have to be buried. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into Christ. Our burial is a water baptism. We are completely covered up, as we did this past Sunday. We covered up two individuals. We buried them in water and added them to the church. And then Paul said that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, you are dead. Your old man died in water baptism. Your sins are washed away in water baptism. And then the Bible says, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Once you are water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins, the Lord then adds you to the church. And there's only one. Paul refers to it because it is a descriptive phrase in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16. Paul said, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ because not only did he shed his blood for our sins of the world, but he also shed his blood and he purchased the church that belongs to Christ. It don't belong to no other man, no person, nowhere can refer to the church other than it belongs to Christ. That's why it's referred to as the church of Christ. It has a various location, such as we are the Highland Heights Church of Christ or the Church of Christ at Highland Heights. That's simply the location, but the church belongs to Christ. So when you are baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins, when you rise up out of the water, the Lord adds you to the church. Yeah, you are a Christian then. Yeah, you are not of a denomination. The church of Christ is undenominational. Yeah, undenominational. And then, as I close, in Romans chapter number 12, in verse number 4, now you have to live a Christian life. You are now a babe in Christ. You have to grow up through the Word of God and live as a Christian. And that's why Paul told them in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, because now they're Christian, they're a brother of Christ. Yeah, they are a brother and a sister of Christ. Once they become a child of God, Christ is your eldest brother. He said, by the mercies of God, God has shown you mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the word reasonable here means that you can reason. God gives us the ability of intelligence that we can serve him by reason through the word of God. We can think and we can worship God. We can give service to God because we are able to reason. And then Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah, when you become a Christian, you are to transform yourself. How, Paul? By renewing my mind through the word of God, that I can show to God and show to others. I have to show God. God already knows what is good. The word acceptable means what is pleasing and what is complete, the complete will of God. So I thank you for your listening ear on tonight. I tried according to my ability to share with you in simplicity and logically God's plan, the Bible purpose, and why the gospel of Christ is so important, and how God gave us the Bible because it shows the glory of God and the salvation of man through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's someone on the call. If you need to reach Brother Stroud after hearing the message, I'm concerned about every soul, those that are wise, those that are unwise, the Greek and the barbarian. I'm like Paul. You can reach me at 281-731-9664. If you have a question, reach out to me. I'll answer it according to the Bible. I thank you tonight for your listening ear. We invite you to join us again on next week as we continue our nationwide gospel call, trying to save souls through the medium that God has given us. Thank you again, and have a peaceful night. Thank you very much.